The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. When a large crowd gathered, people from one town after another, journeying to Jesus, he spoke in a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some seed fell on the path and was trampled, and the birds of the sky ate it up. Some seed fell on rocky ground, and when it grew, it withered for lack of moisture. Some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew with it and choked it. And some seed fell on good soil, and when it grew, it produced fruit 100-fold. After saying this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear ought to hear." Then his disciples asked him what the meaning of this parable might be. He answered, "Knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom of God has been granted to you, but to the rest, they are made known through parables, so that they may look but not see, and hear but not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those on the path are the ones who have heard, but the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts that they may not believe and be saved. Those on rocky ground are the ones who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, but they have no root. They believe only for a time and fall away in time of temptation. As for the seed that fell among thorns, they are the ones who have heard, but as they go along, they are choked by the anxieties and riches and pleasures of life, and they fail to produce mature fruit. But as for the seed that fell on rich soil, they are the ones who, when they have heard the word, embrace it with a generous and good heart and bear fruit through perseverance. The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. And welcome back, everybody. Religion is, and always will be, the most interesting, most important, and most controversial subject in the entire world. Why? Because religion is the only subject that talks about the things that really matter. Unlike entertainment or sports, you know, it's not subject to your feelings or to your whims. Religion is about the things that really matter and always matter. Things like what's right and what's wrong. And who is God and what does he want from us? And what's the meaning of life? And maybe most interesting of all, what happens to us after we die? It's that last one in particular that I would like to talk about with you here this morning, because you know this gospel here of the sower and the seed, one of the most important parables that Jesus ever told. But did you know that we hear that 4 times a year? 4 times a year we show up in the readings with that parable. But the first reading now, from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, it talks about a subject we almost never hear about, namely the resurrection of the body. So I thought we could just talk a little bit about that, because we're all going to die. And what comfort we can gain through knowledge of the teachings of our faith is extraordinarily helpful. It dispels a lot of doubt, grief, anxiety. Because death, you know, is not the end. Death is not the cessation of your existence. You don't dissolve into your constituent elements and pass out of existence entirely. That's not death. After you die, you have the exact same memory, the exact same love, and the exact same consciousness that you had when you were alive. In other words, you're the real you. So what is death? Very simple. Death is the separation of the soul from the body. That's the simple definition of it. The body is the physical part of you. We place it in a casket, we lower it into the ground. The soul, though, that's the spiritual part of you, and it continues on in a disembodied state. However, understand this, that is not natural, and it was never part of God's plan in creating you, to make you a disembodied spirit. Angels, by contrast, they were created to be pure spirit, beings of pure spirit. But you and I, human beings, we were made and designed by God to be both body and soul. And it's one of the reasons why we say that there will be a resurrection of the body, that every person who's ever lived will somehow imitate Jesus, who, upon rising from the dead, rose in a mysterious but decidedly physical body and walked this earth for 40 days. What will that body be like? What will that body be like? That's what St. Paul was trying to tell the Corinthians in the first reading, and he told them four things. He said the body is sown corruptible, but it'll be raised incorruptible. Sown dishonorable, but it'll be raised glorious. Sown weak, raised powerful. Sown natural, raised spiritual. Tiny little word about each one of those. First of all, sown corruptible, but raised incorruptible. You know, this body that we're living in is prone to illness and injury and harm and sticks and stones that can break your bones. But in the resurrected body, that won't be the case. Somehow, the resurrected body will be unable to be injured and will be unable to be killed. Just like St. Paul once said, Christ once died, can never die again. And as it was for him, so it'll be for us. Secondly, the body is sown dishonorable, but it'll be raised glorious. Now, you know as well as I do that even the most perfect, glistening body in the whole world must eventually wither and decay and return to the dust of the earth, right? Even the most glistening and glowing, glorified Olympic athlete with every last cell in his body in prime optical physical condition must eventually wither and decay like a tired old flower. Now, you can postpone the process, right? We can postpone the process. We can eat right and we can get exercise and get proper sleep and take our vitamin D. But in the end, you know as well as I do, gravity always wins. We always end up becoming corruptible and decaying. Somehow, the resurrected body, this won't be the case. Now, the resurrected body won't be merely a resuscitation of the body you already have, as though we're somehow just pumping life back into you and you're up and clucking again. No. Something about it is different. People didn't recognize Jesus after he rose from the dead. Something about it is different. It'll be the real you, right? Male or female, just as God created you to be. But somehow, it'll be the ideal that God always intended when he created you. Thirdly, now this one's kind of fun. Sown weak but raised powerful, St. Paul says. Before Jesus' resurrection, he had to suffer and work and sweat. He had to traverse vast distances on foot. And when he was in one place, he couldn't be in another. And townspeople came to him and said, please don't leave us. And he says, but I've got to go to the next town. But after Jesus rose from the dead, he had extraordinary abilities that no one had ever seen before. Like the ability to pass through solid objects, like walking through walls and locked doors, and the ability to appear and disappear at will, traversing vast distances without covering the space in between, as if he was going there by the power of thought. I don't know what this is going to be like, but somehow, as it was for Christ, it'll be for us. This resurrected body will have entirely new abilities. And lastly, it's so natural, but it's going to be raised spiritual. Right now, when you look at somebody with the eyes of the body, all you can see is nature, right? You can see what they look like, you can see how more or less how old they are, all these things, how tall they are, but you can't see their soul. You don't know upon glancing at somebody whether they're good or bad, whether they're honest or dishonest, right? Whether they're going to try to do you a good turn or steal out of your pocket next time you got your back turned. Not so in the resurrected body. Somehow the spirit will be visible. Now, right now, you know, it's often the opposite. One of my favorite examples of this, Mother Teresa of Calcutta. You know, this woman, 4 foot nothing, all doubled over and hunched over. Even her wrinkles had wrinkles. But she was one of the most beautiful souls in the entire world. Couldn't see it, though. You know quite well, the opposite is often the case. You know the stereotypical image of the mean high school girl who's the prettiest thing who's ever picked up a hairbrush, but nasty to everybody behind their back. Somehow the resurrected body, you're going to be able to see the quality of a person's soul. It's going to be visible. Those few people who have seen the Blessed Mother in visions, they can't describe how beautiful she is. They say, she's so beautiful I can't put it into words. You paint a painting, they say it doesn't even come close to how beautiful she is. Why do they say that? Because it's her spirit that they're seeing. And that's the Holy Spirit. And you cannot put that into words. Amazing things the good God has for us. Unlimited in his goodness. I have no idea how this comes about. No idea whatsoever. But I do know that God does not deceive. And as he's promised, so he will do. As is an article of our faith, so it will happen. There will be somehow a resurrection of the body. And why not? And why not? God who can turn water into wine, imagine what he can do with you. Imagine what he can do with me. So you and I, let's press on now, embracing the faith of the generous and good heart, bearing fruit through perseverance, and asking for the prayers of the saints to help us today. St. Robert Bellarmine, pray for us.